Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Good. You got time for a little bit of word today? That'd be all right? It's all right if I would kind of add on to a little bit of what we talked about last week. We were talking about Sabbath. Let me read you out of Hebrews chapter 4. I don't know what else I've forgotten, but we're interested. We're starting a security team, building it back up again, and be doing some things after the first of the year if you're interested in being part of that. I see Terry Hale here, and I don't know, Paul Bayless is somewhere. John's over here. You can kind of get with some of these guys and putting some stuff together. Anyway, let's settle down now. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll read you verses 9 and 10 out of the Amplified. It says, so then there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also ceases from the weariness and pain of human labor, just as God rested from those labors, peculiarly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter in to that rest of God, to know and to experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. Father, we love you today, and Lord, just ask Holy Spirit that you'd just use this few minutes here to give us something that just helps us and draws us closer to you. And we're so grateful for you, precious Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, how's everybody doing today? Everybody okay? Huh? Praise the Lord. We began last week and we were talking about the Sabbath. I had had a question asked me, and so I just began to study a little bit, and I don't know, I just saw some interesting things about the rest. And you know, we in the Old Testament, there was a Sabbath day. In fact, God commanded that, God says that God rested from his work on the seventh day. And so in the Old Testament, they were commanded to have a day a week, which was the Sabbath day, which was actually Saturday. And they were commanded to have that day where they didn't do any labor, but they just rested, and they rested in the Lord. And they spent time with God, supposedly. Well, in the New Testament, we no longer have a day that's set apart, but the New Testament, our whole life is to be that day and that peace. In fact, Paul, in the third and fourth chapter here of Hebrews, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but in the third and fourth chapter here, he develops the concept that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We know that Jesus said in Matthew, he said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Or in other words, he was telling us he is the Sabbath. And then he said in Mark, he said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. So in the third and fourth chapter, Paul begins to develop this idea of Jesus and being our Sabbath rest. And what he's trying to reveal is that a relationship with Jesus, as we develop this relationship with him, it frees us from the law. It frees us from the bondage. It frees us and allows us to rest in the finished work that Jesus did for us. You know, Jesus dealt with a problem that the Sabbath and the rest and all the law and everything had become such a, it had lost its purpose. The Sabbath rest actually was a day when they rested and trusted God and believed God, but it had become a day where they just were trying to obey ordinances and trying to do things. If you'll notice through the scripture, Jesus was always getting in trouble with the religious folk about doing something on the Sabbath, or about his disciples eating corn on the Sabbath, or, you know, doing things. And what had happened was, is what Jesus was trying to tell them was, he said, you know, you guys have made this thing all religion. You've made it all dues and all ordinances and all regulations, and you've forgotten the purpose. And you know, how many know if we're not careful, we can do the same thing? We can get into all the things that we know we're to do for God, and it isn't the fact that we shouldn't be doing them, but we forget the reason why. Jesus one time talked to the religious leaders there, and he said, you know, you guys tithe to the very mint leaf. I mean, you tithe down to the last penny, but you neglect the weightier things, which is having a heart for God. And he goes on and he said, you know, you ought to do these things. I get tickled when people say, well, we shouldn't tithe in the New Testament. We don't have to tithe. Well, Jesus said you ought to. Huh? He said you ought to, but he said you ought not to forget the other things. And so sometimes, how many know, we just get so bound up in our do's and don'ts and our appearance and our performance that we forget why we do all that. And you know, I want to be a good person. I want to do good things. I want to have good performance. But I want to do that out of a gratitude and out of a love to a Father that loves me. Huh? I mean, I want to do that out of, man, I'm excited about living for God. I want to live for God. But not because I have to. It's just that I want to. Huh? He's so good. Huh? He's so good. Everybody, you just all right now. Just say, God, you're so good. Huh? I mean, you came in here thinking about your problems and thinking about all your stuff. So you just say, God, you're so good. I like what Greg said. You know, if you're not happy, it's because you've neglected and you've pushed away the good things that have happened to you. And if you are happy, then you've neglected and kind of pushed away those bad things that happen. You know, there's always going to be some bad things happen to us. But you know, I choose to think on those good things. I choose to think on the things that are lovely. I choose to think on the things that are true and of good report. I just choose to think on the goodness of God. How many know we can all play our fiddle if we want to? Anybody hadn't got anything to be sad about? Huh? I don't see a hand. But I'm not paying attention to that stuff anymore. And let me just say, this Christmas season, I hope you have a good Christmas. And don't let your Christmas, don't let your happiness be geared by what you have or what you don't have. Man, it isn't about gifts. It isn't about money. It isn't about all that stuff. God wants to give all that stuff to us, but it's about loving the one who gave the greatest gift for us. Huh? And so you know, you can be discouraged, and I know, hey, Christmas time is, sometimes it's a discouraging time. More people are sad at Christmas time than any other time of the year. I don't want you to be. If you're watching this on TV, I don't want you to be. Because, see, we got so much to be glad about. We got so much. We can enter into a rest with Him, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference what the world's throwing at me. I can enter into a place with Him that, man, it's okay. Huh? It's okay. And I can have His joy in here regardless of what's going on out here. Well, and that's resting in what God done. That's resting in the finished works of Jesus. Resting in what's been done for us. Paul's revealing here that how this relationship with Jesus frees us from this law that was to bring righteousness. You know, when you get to studying the law, the first five books of the Bible, basically, and there's like 613 laws, and you get to studying all these things, and I want you to understand the law showed us how hard and complicated it is to be right with God. But if you could keep all these 600 and some laws, if you could keep all those things, you could be right with God. Well, the truth was, nobody could do it. And so Jesus came and He did it for us. Nobody could do it in the Old Testament. Nobody could do it, and nobody can do it now. And God knew that people wouldn't be able to do it, and that's why He instituted a sacrifice. Every year they brought a sacrifice to the priest. And man, it had to be done just exactly right. And if the priest didn't do it right and went into the Holy of Holies and hadn't done something right, he dropped dead. Whew. And so what I began to see is this law shows me how complicated, how hard, how difficult it is to be right with God. But Jesus came, and when He said in John 19:30, when He said, the Bible says they gave Him that sour wine, or that pain medicine that was to dull His pain. He said when he partook of that, He said, "It's finished," and He gave up the ghost. He gave up His spirit. He said, "It's finished," and He left this place. See, when He said it was finished, all that hard part that's impossible, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. And when Jesus said it was finished, He had fulfilled, He had completed, He had done everything that was so complicated in the law. He had done it. He said, remember once He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it." See, the law is not in operation, it's not ceased now. The law still is in operation. It's still good, but what Jesus did is He came and He fulfilled it. He carried it out. He completed it. He did everything that it took to be right with God. And then He turned around and said, "Here, Hank. It's a free gift. Take it." That makes sense? "Here, it's a free gift. Take it." Did you know when you spend time under condemnation, you're pushing that gift away? When you spend time thinking how unworthy you are, you're pushing that gift away. When you spend time thinking about how unpleased God is with you, you're pushing that gift away. And we do that subconsciously, not even realizing it. And what I'm learning to do is, when all that guilt and all that shame and all that stuff comes to me, I'm learning to say, "Yeah, you're right, but let me tell you something. Jesus took all my guilt and all my shame when He went to that cross." See, that's something you have to mentally do. You have to enter into that rest yourself. Nobody can do it for you. You have to mentally say, "Yeah, okay, maybe I'm not worthy, but I'm getting in Jesus and He is worthy. So I'm trading all my bad for all His good. I'm trading all my condemnation for all His freedom. I don't have to operate under Hank anymore. I'm going to operate in Jesus." And every time that I'm going like this, I'm pushing that gift away. And we're constantly, how many know we're constantly bombarded with things? How many don't need me to stand up here and tell you how bad you are? Huh? You already know because you looked in the mirror this morning. You with me? But what I want you to do when you start looking in the mirror, instead of thinking how bad you are, I want you to start looking in the mirror and go, whoo, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Man, the God that created this universe loves you. You're important to Him. You've got a mission here. He's got something for you that nobody else could do as good as you can do. Man, you are something. Now, don't get conceited and big-headed. But man, have some pride. Not self-pride, but have some pride in Jesus and what He did. That makes sense? And that's what He did. And that's this rest we can enter into. And it's free. Let me just read you out of Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just read you those verses. Verses 8 and 9 says, "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, that you're delivered from judgment, and you're made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith." You hear that? It's by free grace. And you can partake of that freedom through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it's a gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest we'd be able to boast ourselves. It's not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. You see, when I'm able to push that guilt and that shame, when I'm able to partake of that salvation that He's offered me, you know, when I'm able to take of that, I'm able to push what the devil's doing out of my life. I'm able to push that guilt away. I'm able to push that condemnation away. Does this make any sense? Well, see, I can enter in to that rest of the finished work. Finished work. Now, you finally starting to get your mind on me and not what you got to do after church and what all we got to do this week and who's coming and who's not coming. And just listen for a couple minutes here. Because, see, I can rest in that finished work. See, regardless of anything that happens around me, regardless of anything happens to me, I know that my eternal security, my eternal life is secure with Him because of what Jesus did. Are you hearing that? See, I can rest in that. I can rest in the fact, here a while back, and I don't know, I know you, many of you do the same thing, catch yourself doing it, but you know, I was, what church background I had growing up, I was taught that I was nothing and that I never could please God. And I mean, in our church, we were even afraid to take communion if we were taking it unworthy. And we all knew we were unworthy. And man, it was just this constant struggle and constant battle inside. And so we carry that with us as we get older. Even when we learn the truth, that tendency is still in there to think, oh gosh, I hope I make it to heaven. You ever ask anybody, a Christian, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. I didn't ask you if you ever said it. But I have. And I remember one day, and I mean, it's been a year or two back, and I just out of the clear blue, I just started thinking about heaven and hell, and I started thinking about, man, how scary it would be if you had to go to hell. I start thinking about all this stuff, and then you start thinking, well, man, am I right? Am I doing everything right? Am I living this right? I don't want to deceive anybody. I don't want to lead anybody astray. And you're fighting this mental battle inside of me. You know, and that's what I was doing, and I was just doing all that, and I was going, oh, I don't know, and then all of a sudden, just something happened inside of me. I said, but you know what? I can't go to heaven anyway if it isn't for you, Jesus, so I might as well quit worrying about that. I mean, I'm totally dependent on you. If I can't go, it's because of you. I mean, the only reason I can go is because you made it possible. Not because of anything I could do. Or not because of anything I didn't do. Or not if I did it right or if I did it wrong. I get to go because he did it right. Huh? I'm secure. Now that doesn't mean I can just go do anything I want. That doesn't mean I can just live like the devil. That isn't what he's saying. But because I know I'm secure, somebody said, "Well, do you think you could fall away?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not going to try." Well, I mean, what kind of idiot's going to try to fall away? Huh? The enemy was bombarding me with that one day. And I just stopped and I said, "Lord, all I know is if I have to go to hell, there's going to be somebody in hell that loves you with all their heart, and I'm going to be shouting Jesus." That kind of stuff will pull you right out of that nonsense. Because the devil knows he doesn't have you anymore. See, you got to enter into that rest. You got to do it on purpose. Now, I know that about my salvation going to heaven. But what I've learned, folks, is if I'm going to live the abundant life that God's made for me, that he desires me to live, I'm going to have to do it the same way. If I'm going to be blessed, I'm going to have to do it the same way. I'm going to use my faith to reach in and grab what his grace has provided for me. It's the only way it's going to happen. If hardship and pain and people's needs would cause God to move, we'd be having so many miracles right now that you couldn't even keep track. But that's not what causes God to move. What causes him, he responds to our faith in what he did. And by faith, we reach out and we grab by that grace that's with us and that's what it's provided for us. Huh? You see, I don't have to go to hell because there was a time by faith I reached out and grabbed that part of grace. If I want to be healed and walk in health, I have to do it the same way. I have to reach out with my faith and I have to grab that part of grace. Does this make sense? If I don't want to have less than enough, if I want to have more than enough, if I want to prosper, I have to reach out with my faith and grab that part of grace for my own life. God told me to do something last week. How many were here last week? And I spoke and I spoke money to come to you, extra money to come to you. You know, you can't believe how many reports I've had this week of people that got blessed, that got extra money that wasn't coming, didn't know it was coming, and things like that. Matter of fact, somebody gave me some money, and I counted it, and I praised God, and I just put it, that night, I just put it down. The next day when I counted it, there was $100 more in it than there was the night before. You say, "Well, you must have miscounted." Well, maybe. Maybe God just wanted to do something. But you know what I noticed was? When I prayed that, I could see, and you didn't go like this, but I could see some of you went, your spirit was reaching out, "Yes, I received that. Yes, I received that. Yes, I received that." But some were going, "Well, you know the feeling I'm talking about." See, but that faith, is a spirit. It's a spirit that reaches out. It's a spirit of faith, just like a spirit of fear. See, some of you are afraid you won't make it. You're afraid it won't work out. You're afraid things are going to happen. You're afraid. That's more than just in your mind. That's not fear thoughts. It gets in your spirit, and it's a spirit of fear. Is this making any sense? But faith is a spirit. It gets in our spirit, and we have a spirit of faith. Man, it's called rest. I just rest because, man, I know my God's bigger than my situation. I know God's bigger than my need. I know God's bigger than anything the enemy can throw at me. I know my God will cause no weapon that's formed against me. He won't let any weapon that's formed against me to prosper. Why? Well, because I saw it in this book, and I took it, and I believed it. See, now it's okay to be right where you are. Maybe you were one that went, well, I don't think we ought to talk about money in church. Why? You talk about it everywhere else. Huh? Well, I just don't think. Yeah, but you know, the truth is you talk about it more when you don't have it than you do when you do have it. Huh? Bible doesn't say money's evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. We'll talk some more about that later. That isn't what today's about. But, you know, some of us loved money more when we didn't have any than we did when we got some. Huh? That just meant I spent more time thinking about it. How am I going to get it? What's it going to take? How am I going to... You with me? Don't we have a God that just like to heap blessings and heap abundant life on us? Doesn't that make sense? Now, if y'all went blank on me here, I'm trying to get done here. Huh? I've told this before, but it's kind of like imagine yourself living in a big mansion, and everything you can imagine is in this mansion. You got everything you'd ever need, and ever desire, and ever want. I mean, everything's beautiful. The chandeliers are gold. Even the light switches are gold. I mean, you're living in this fancy mansion, and you've got an old shed in the back. It's all run down, the paint's peeled off of it, the roof's leaking, and you just keep some stuff in it every once in a while. And you got an old shed in the back, and you're living in this big fancy mansion, but you make your kids live in that little shed back there. Isn't that ridiculous? If you do that, I need to pray for you. You need deliverance. That's what we think about God. Man, I love the song, Randy. Corner, you know, but we sing it about just give me a little cabin over in the corner of glory. I'm sorry, folks, that the Bible doesn't say anything about any cabins in heaven. It says mansions. I'm just adjusting some thinking. Okay? Don't fall out with me. If you don't want to have nothing, I'll believe with you. Huh? Well, it's by grace that I have to live. It's by faith that I reach out. I live my life in Christ by the grace of God through my faith in Him. Does that make sense? See, God's grace, listen to this, God's grace, yes, it's unmerited favor. Yes, it's what I don't deserve. And yet, but God's grace actually is, part of it is His power working in me that enables me to do whatever I need to do. It's His power working in me that enables me to do. This rest doesn't mean I rest from work, from labor. It means I rest in labor. Huh? He said, go into all the world. He said, as you do to others, it'll be done to you. You understand? It's not a rest that just stops us from doing anything. It's a rest that enables us to do everything. Huh? I can what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, we know that up here. It just hadn't taken root in here yet. Right? I said we. I'm not up here talking to you like somebody that's arrived. But I'll tell you this, I'm on my way. I mean, you're not going to stop me, and nobody else is going to stop me, and the devil's not going to stop me. I'm on my way. Huh? God's rest. God's rest. Now listen, now the whole thing here. What's all this, what's Paul talking about here? What's Hebrews talking about here? God's rest. You know, what is it that made God so angry that he wouldn't let his kids go into the promised land? What is it that made him so angry that he wouldn't let them enter that rest? You see, Canaan land was their promised land. Canaan land was their place of abundance. Canaan land was their place of security in God. Canaan land was the land, the place that God had prepared for them to enter into. A place of, the Bible called it a land of milk and honey, a place of abundance. And Canaan land is to be a shadow, a type of our life in Jesus. Now they went into Canaan land, yes, they had battles, but God said, I'll go before you and I'll take the battle, handle the battle for you. When they did what he said, what happened? Man, the walls would fall down without them even raising a hand. Now when he did what they said, when they did what God told them to do, man, stuff just happened. Miraculous things happen. But what made him so mad? Here he had prepared this place. He had made this place. He had beforehand had it ready for him. He's telling them about it for years and centuries. He's telling them about this place. And what made him so mad is they wouldn't believe him and trust him and enter in. They got right up to the banks. It's only a 7-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. They got right up to the banks and they wouldn't go in. And they spent, if you'll check it out, they spent 40 years walking in circles in the desert, in the wilderness. Didn't matter how many miracles he did for them. Didn't matter how miraculous the things were. How much mercy he showed them. I mean, man, it says that their shoes didn't even wear out for 40 years. I mean, man, he had every area of their life. They got hungry, he just rained it out of heaven. They got thirsty, just hit the rock. Are you with me? Oh, no matter what he did, they still wouldn't trust him. Folks, listen to me. Jesus is our place of security. That rest that God's talking about us entering into is our place of security. It's our place of it's our place of abundance. It's our place that God has prepared for us beforehand that Ephesians talks about. It's all those good works that He's prepared, those good things that He's prepared for us to walk in. You know why you have some needs in your life? How many'd like to know? You know why you have some needs in your life? It's because there's a Christian somewhere that's not listening to God. Because if he was listening or she was listening to God, he would, through them, cause your needs to come to you. But look around and say, which one of you has got my blessing? Are you with me? He said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I cause men to give unto your bosom. That means ladies too, by the way. Well, now instead of me going, well, which one of you rascals is holding back on me? I decided to turn that around. I go, oh God, who am I supposed to be blessing and I'm not paying attention to you? Huh? See, and we're at Christmas. See, let me tell you, Christmas season isn't about what you get. It's about the giver of life. It's not about what you get, man. And if you're feeling like, you know, I went through some Christmases, man, as a kid and even as an adult, where there just wasn't nothing. I understand that. But you want to get your mind off that, then start figuring out, well, how can I be a blessing to somebody? Are you discouraged? So, well, I can call somebody and cheer them up. Have you got a little extra? Well, I can help somebody. Are you with me? Do you not have any extra? Well, I can give them what I got. Well, this place in Jesus is a place God's had prepared. I can enter into that rest. Does that make sense? I don't know. I never did look good. Okay, I was making sure I didn't have no... Some of these guys stand up here and they're kind of shiny back here, and I just want to make sure I didn't have that. I'm never able to see that side of me, so I didn't know. I didn't know. You got to do something to get you back. Okay, so how does this work? Well, it works because of God's grace, but I reach out with my faith and I get what grace has provided for me. You with me? Verse 2 in Hebrews there says that the ones he was mad at said they heard the gospel, they heard the good news, they heard the word of God, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with their faith. See, you can believe God's good. The devil believes God's good. But what you got to believe is he's good to me. Huh? Everybody say, he's good to me. Touch yourself. Come on. He's good to me. Everybody do this so we can get on it. He's good to me. Thank you. Boy, y'all are a hard crowd today. I love you anyway, though. And he goes on in verse 3 and he says, for we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God do enter into that rest. You see how it starts? It starts with believing. Does that make sense? So when I said this last week and it shook some of you. When I'm trying to believe, I haven't entered that rest. I'm trying to believe, Doc. I'm trying to. Well, then yeah, I haven't entered in. It's when I believe that I've entered in. What did Paul say? He said, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. Huh? See, I'm talking this rest is a place where I'm persuaded my God's on my side. I'm persuaded he's doing good things for me. I'm persuaded he loves me when nobody else does. I tease my little dog because she'd just be my friend no matter what. Huh? When nobody else likes me, my little dog, she'll like me. And I said, Molly, you're just a good friend. You're just my buddy. You're just a good friend. You love me when nobody else does. I said, you're the only one that loves me when nobody else does. And a little voice inside said, that's a lie. I love you. Huh? I said, well, nobody likes me. No, if there's somebody that likes you, God likes you, and Jesus likes you, and the Holy Spirit likes you. Yeah, give him some praise for it. You see, living by faith isn't a struggle. We've let our thinking, well, I'm just living by faith. No, you're not. You're struggling. Living by faith is when I can rest. When I can rest in what God's done. When it doesn't have to be something I can see and I can still rest. You with me? Doesn't have to be something. See, it doesn't have to be something. The circumstances don't have to get just right before I can rest. Let me just say something. If you can't rest right where you are right now, no matter what's going on around you, then you can't rest. Well, when things get better, no, you won't. You'll carry that thinking right on with you. That's like saying, well, when I start making lots of money, I'll start giving to God. No, you won't. In fact, it'll be harder to give then than it is when you don't have anything. I tell people about when I got saved, and I said, God, we was trying to buy this building. I said, God, I've just for the next month or 2 months, however long period, I said, I'm just going to give you half of everything I got. Well, that wasn't no big deal. I didn't have nothing. You say, well, I'm struggling and I'm battling, and now's the time to make that deal. Well, I didn't have nothing, but when I made that deal, I started having stuff. Now I'm telling you. Well, once you see, it's His grace. It's my faith. It's His rest. I realize because of my belief in Jesus, I can take my faith and I can reach out there and partake of that grace. And it brings that rest of God in me. I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to let you influence my life anymore, whether I'm happy or not happy. Huh? Somebody giving you a hard time? Somebody making you stay awake at night because you think about it? Why don't you just quit letting them dominate your life that way? Just say, hold it, man. My rest is in God, not whether you behave right, not whether you treat me right, not whether you do this right or that right. My rest is in God. And I'm okay with Him, so I'm okay with you. Well, I don't think you could get this anywhere today. I hope you're getting something. Now, my rest isn't from work, but it's in work. And I want to stress this because what that means is it means that I'm partnering with God. I'm partnering to do whatever He tells me to do. He's my partner. Whatever situations I face, He's my partner. See, why am I saying this? I'm saying because you don't think you can breathe now, but I'm telling you, you can. You got a partner. See, I wanted to, I wish I could just say I didn't worry anymore. No, I wanted to worry and I wanted to fret and I wanted to, and I wanted to cry and I did cry and the crying didn't do no good, you know. God said, no. And I'd fall down and I'd mess up. He'd say, get up, brush your britches off. Come on, let's go. I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself. I didn't have time to do any of that stuff. You understand? A rest that couldn't happen any other way but supernaturally. I just say that to bring you some hope. See, I walk with God. I do my part, and He does His part. If I do my part, He does His part. Sometimes He does His part anyway, but I just don't realize it because I didn't do my part. Let me change that. All the time He does His part. But I don't always benefit from it because I'm always not paying attention and I'm always not doing my part. I'm not doing what He tells me to do. Yeah, it is pretty good. You know, it's kind of like when, how many here have ever worried and fretted and got all anxious and just where it's kind of like this. I've learned that when I'm all stressed out and I'm all worked up and I'm all worrying about my problems and I'm rolling it over and over in my mind and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to be able to handle this. It's like I'm saying, God, I'm not sure if you can handle this or not. I think you need my help. Let it soak in. No, this rest is freedom from worry. It's freedom from reasoning. It's freedom from anxiety. It's when we enter in to His rest. And we have to enter in it
with childlike faith, just like these little kids we just had up here. God, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. Not I trust you to bring me the big check. Sometimes he'll do that. No, I trust you, God. Whatever's going on, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I'm in this mess because I did it, but I trust you anyway. He's not holding everything against you. He nailed all that stuff onto Jesus on the cross. He just wants you to get up, pull your britches up, brush them off, and start taking some steps again. Does that make any sense? Now, this is easy preach. It's just hard to do. You know what I was praying this morning for about an hour before I came? I said, oh, Lord, just help me to do. Help me to live where I'm trying to tell these folks to live. Do you understand? And it's okay wherever you are. Just say, God, I want to take the next step with you. Because I'm your partner. Do you understand that? I'm partner with the creator of this universe that made all the gold and silver. Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. I mean, he's my partner. Don't you think I ought to pay a little more attention to him? Read John 14, 15, and 16. Read it. That's what Jesus is talking about. I'm going to make this place with you where you can have a relationship with me and Father just like I have with Father. If you'll read those chapters that way, they'll make a lot more sense to you. And I know you can't do it, Terry, on your own, but I'm going to send my Spirit back to live in you, and He'll lead you and guide you into all the truth I got for you. He'll tell you things that I haven't been able to tell you yet. He'll lead you into these places in life. This is a lot better than the response I'm getting. Have you got another minute? Can you handle just a little bit more? Not? Well, we'll go then. You can? Okay. I'm listening to Corey. And so I don't want this just to be something in our mind. I want it to be something in our life. All you have to do now is decide, I want to live there, God. I want that in my life. I want to live in that rest. Verse 11 tells us, it says, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. Let us be careful that we don't fall into the same kind of unbelief and disobedience that they did in the wilderness. You with me? So he says, now be diligent. That means go after it. God, I'm going to have that rest. God, I'm going to have what you got for me. I'm going to live that place with you. Go after it with all diligence. But listen, we've taken verse 12 out of context and just we quote it for everything. But he's talking here about rest. He says, be diligent to enter into that rest. Go after it. Be diligent to it. Be careful. Don't fall into the same kind of disbelief. And he goes right on and he says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you see what he's saying? Well, how do I do that, Hank? How do I enter into that? He said, be diligent to enter. How? With this word. With this word. You got to be diligent. You got to go after it. You got to want to read it and study it more than you want to watch the news. You got to spend more time thinking about it than you do about your profession. You got to think more time. You know, if you're hungry, you're going to go after some food. Man, you want your faith to grow? You want to have faith? Then you ought to be studying every pioneer of the faith you can find. And there's no excuse now for not studying because you can just Google. You can Google Kenneth Hagin. You can Google went blank there. You can Google all these guys, Smith Wigglesworth. You can Google all these guys. You can learn what they learned. And you can. There's no excuse for us not going after it.
Well, I just want God to do it. Well, hey, listen, I'm sorry. He said, be diligent. Go after it. Well, this is the thing. And I'm wrapping up here. The enemy will do anything in his power to keep you out of that place of rest. And once you get there, he'll do everything in his power to pull you out of it. How's he going to do that? With your thoughts. What did that verse say? This word will divide that stuff. It'll help you discern those thoughts. You'll know what's God and what's not God. Why? Because you're balancing it with the Word. You're balancing it with your relationship. As you read the Word, He's talking to you. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's revealing it to you. He's bypassing this. There's a lot of people got a lot of Word up here, but they don't have any in here. You know how you know? Well, is the stuff you're doing working? Well, every once in a while, I just have to look at myself and say, you know, God, this ain't working. This ain't working like it's supposed to work. He says, well, Hank, my end's working. I told God one time, I said, God, I want to be just like you. I want to have everything you want me to have. And he said, that's great, Hank. But he said, you and I are incompatible. And I'm not changing. Well, his word, it's my walk with him. He's my partner. Man, men, father are having a love affair, man. I mean, man, we're having, and my Savior Jesus, man, he made it possible so I could finally go into the presence of my Father, and I didn't have to back in. I could just walk in there. Say, well, Hank, I don't know about all that. I know. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you. This word is what will do it. If the devil stops you, it'll be because he gets you to think wrong. Stinking thinking. He gets you to think wrong. And when you think something long enough, you're going to act on it. There's a lot of people that think God said this and God, this is the way God is. And it's not true. It doesn't matter. It'll still work for you. So if you believe God doesn't want you to have nothing, hey, that faith will work for you. Huh? Let me end with these verses and I'll quit. 2 Peter 1, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped all the corruption that's in this world through lust. Now I want you to close with this. I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, grace and peace will be multiplied to you through your knowledge of God and of Jesus. You hear me? The more knowledge of God and Jesus you have, the more peace and grace will be in your life. Is that what he said? He says that it's his, by his divine power, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But it's through that knowledge of him that it's through that knowledge of him that I'm enabled to be able to get everything, all those great and exceeding great promises. What are they? They're everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it's through my knowledge of him that power is able to operate in my life. Because if I don't believe it, I won't receive it. See,
See, as I walk with Him and as I experience Him, you know, there's something about it when Him and Adam walked in the cool of the day. I mean, what's that saying? I'm figuring out they had a relationship that I don't have yet. But Jesus made it possible, so I'm going after it. See, and I don't have time. I don't have time to think about who's doing me wrong and who's doing this and who didn't do this and who didn't do that. See, my eye's on the mark, man. My eye's on the Master. My eye's going after. I want that rest in my life. And the more knowledge of Him that I get, the more of that rest, more of that peace, more of that grace, more of that power that's multiplied to me. Does that make sense? Now, here's the thing. We can say this and sound all spiritual, but most of us aren't very spiritual. Am I talking to the right people? I mean, I'm not Johnny Saint, and you're not Susie Belcal, and you know, I mean, most of us are just regular people. But that's what God wants. He's tired. Jesus didn't like the religious folk when He showed up. Matter of fact, the only time He got mean and ugly, it was with them. He never got mean and ugly with the sinners. And He's not getting mean and ugly with you. You see, we're just regular folk. So what I'm trying to say is you don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to be doing what anybody else is doing. You just need to get with Daddy yourself. See, He wants to take you right where you are. And it's okay to be right where you are. Yeah, but Hank, you don't know, man, I'm in debt. I'm in trouble. I've done this, that. Hey, that's okay. He's been there before. He understands. That's why at the end of that chapter it says, we got a high priest. We can come boldly into that throne. Because we got a high priest that knows what we're going through. We can come boldly there and we can find our grace and we can find help in our time of need. Folks, I have to go in there every day. And I even go in there when I don't have to, just because it's fun to be in there. Isn't it, Chris? It's just fun to be in the presence of God. Rest. So when life's giving you a hard time, why don't you just decide to rest? Say, life, circumstances, hold on just a minute, I'll be right back with you. Father, I just need to spend some time with You. Everybody stand. Well, I kept you 2 minutes over, I'm sorry. I'm praying that you got something. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, teach me what I just heard. And I say that too, Holy Spirit. Everybody here say something. See, to enter into this place, it starts with a confession of Jesus. It starts with giving Him your life. And so, anybody in here that you don't know for sure that you're saved, right now, right where you are, right now, I want you to just say this prayer. Just say, Father, I'm a mess. I need to be saved. But Jesus, You gave Your life for me. So I'm giving You my life now. And I'm asking You to do something with it. I want to serve You and live for You. But I need Your help. Woo! And everybody say, thank You for saving me. How many's glad You saved? Woo! Isn't Jesus wonderful? Hey, I love you. I hope you've gotten something today. We will have service next week. I hope everybody comes, and I hope you'll bring somebody with you. And we're going to have a time of worshiping the Lord. But as you go today, if you prayed that prayer, or maybe you didn't and you want to, come down. One of us will be happy to pray with you. In fact, if you got anything that you want somebody to agree with you on, one of us will pray with you down here, because we love you. Okay? So before you, as you leave, I speak God's blessing into you. And I'm believing that rest to come into your life this week. I'm believing you to walk with the Father in a dimension that you've never walked with Him before. And I'm believing Him to show you all the goodness He has for you. Hey, I love y'all. We'll see you next time. If you got an ugly tie, wear it tonight and come over to the fellowship hall. Hey, have a good day. Have a good week. See you next time.